Hi everyone, my name is Adam Small.
And I'm Jake Moses.
Welcome to our podcast, A Performer's Pathway.
A podcast adventure to help guide and navigate your musical life and career.
As a prelude to every episode, we'd like to remind our listeners that this podcast is about the other side of the musical coin. One side, which you see a lot at our website, mymusicmasterclass.com, is what to do in the practice room. And the other side is how to maximize your talent and skills in the real world, and that's what this podcast is about. Also, if you have a few extra seconds to spare,
which is technically only 3 beats at 60 BPM,
please subscribe to our show on your podcast app of choice and rate us 5 stars. You can leave a comment about absolutely anything, too. That small act of kindness will really help us expand our audience and continue to create new episodes.
And lastly, word of mouth is always super helpful. So if you like what you hear, please tell the world.
Before we get started here, I want to mention our monthly guidebook slash workbook called The Motivated Musician. It's geared towards serious musicians, and it offers challenges, exercises, professional advice, and more to help keep your musical life and career on track. Also, as an extra perk, members get exclusive discounts from My Music Masterclass, and if you want to learn more, go to mymusicmasterclass.com, hit subscribe in the header menu, and you'll be good to go.
That being said, let's check further down the path of
The Art of Dreaming.
Oh shit, this is about lucid dreaming? It's not about lucid dreaming, is it?
No, it's not. It's about the Aerosmith song Dream On, actually.
Nice.
No, it's not about that either.
Oh.
All right. So what is it about?
I don't know, but I just pictured what a Steven Tyler Perry would look like. We need to make a fictional character, Steven Tyler Perry.
A morph. Awesome. Yeah, that would be.
Yeah, it'd be the fucking coolest person ever.
That would be a pretty cool person.
Yeah.
All right. So let's get down to it. Dreaming and thinking optimistically is a big part of being a musician, right?
And I'm out then.
It should be. I know Jake is a bit of a pessimist, but it should be, Jake. I'm serious.
And yeah, I mean, I'm a, you know. Yeah.
You're a realist? Pessimist?
I could make some arguments for it.
Okay. So it's something I did when I was just starting out, right? I was super optimistic and I dreamt a lot about, you know, what I could do and what I hope to do when I establish my career. But it's also something I still do today. And, you know, I'm 97 years old. Well, maybe.
I just pictured you as a young old chap dreaming about across the river from Jersey.
Exactly.
You know, like someday I'll go over there across the river.
That was my accent?
Big city.
Yeah, it was more like, listen, these motherfuckers over there. No, all right. It's not like that. All right. Anyway, but what happens if your dream doesn't come true, right? So that's kind of what this is about. For instance,
I mean, I could tell you right now.
I'm just going to bypass that. For instance, if you audition for a gig that you really want to have, right? And you have to wait a week for a callback or something like that, which usually happens or whatever it is. In that time, you're most likely dreaming of the scenarios in which you're doing the gig, everything's awesome in your life, or whatever it is. I mean, it just happens to everyone. This is easy.
That's a good feeling, too.
Yeah.
Like, but the possibilities.
Yeah, the possibilities. You're like, oh, I can, you know, that's going to be cool. I get to play in front of these crowds. Like, I get to get some gear sponsorships, whatever. But now let's say that you don't get the gig. Now, many people will feel incredibly let down and depressed because in their minds, they formulated this reality in which they already had the gig, you know, and they're super let down. And that's understandable. Okay. This can be applied to anything in your life, including, right, dating, business of any kind, social media, long or short-term goals. It doesn't matter. Now, some people will try to counter this whole thing by being super impartial and disconnected to pretty much all situations and just not being invested in anything. And this happens in relationships too. Again, you know, so for instance, someone won't allow themselves to have feelings for someone else because they want to shield themselves from the eventual disappointment in quotes, you know, or whatever. Yeah. I mean, that's a pretty obvious thing. The same thing applies to music where people just don't give a shit, or they have a don't give a shit attitude for absolutely every situation they play in, again shielding themselves from failure. And you know, sometimes this can be called, what do they say, self-sabotage. Sometimes people say it's a self-sabotaging person or things like that. Oftentimes this has to do with a fear of failure, you know, because it's easier to break up with someone before they break up with you, or fuck something up before you get fired or whatever the case is, yeah. You know?
I mean, it's just a lot of work to do for like no outcome.
I'm with you. like, but
fuck this.
Exactly.
But what the hell else are you going to do, you know?
Yeah, so...
Just not do anything?
Yeah, I mean, basically what I'm getting at is that kind of attitude won't get you very far because no one wants to play with someone who's so disassociated with their emotion, right? And music is emotional and it's exciting. And if you're just checked out, no one's going to want to be part of that. I mean, it's obvious, right? So we're moving on from that.
The Beastie Boys song was, "Listen all y'all, it's self-sabotage." It, like, wouldn't be as fun. It'd be all depressing.
Damn it. Exactly. All right. So you ever hear people calling old musicians crusty or burnt out or pissed at life or jaded, whatever the phrase is? I mean, in my circle, we used to call musicians crusty in this case. And do you ever hear that, Jake?
I mean, only when someone calls me that. Yeah.
All right. So essentially, this refers to a musician old most of the time, or not, or at least mature, but it can be young people in some cases as well. And it's someone who's resentful and pissed off at the music industry or jealous of other musicians because they didn't get whatever they think they deserved. You know, it could be a gig. They're always pissed off at, you know, so-and-so, you know.
It's different when you're young. It's bitterness when you're older. It's just entitlement when you're young.
Yeah, bitterness is another word, obviously.
What the fuck, dude? Like, you know, like, I'm the best. I should have this gig.
I mean, you know, seeing that, like, whatever, guitarist or saxophone player that just comes up and be like, yeah, man, I mean, I remember when that dude was, like, you know, coming to jams and he couldn't even fucking play a note. And now, like, he's got this gig. You know what I mean? It's like that shit will just eat your soul if you are that person. You know, I mean, you can't do that. Anyway, basically, nobody wants to play with these people because they're fucking negative and they have an awful vibe and they're just super shitty. So basically, their attitude of being this crusty or bitter or whatever you want to call it, it's basically like musician repellent. You know what I mean? It's like putting off on yourself, you know? And I mean, I don't know if I have to say anything but that. I mean, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah, and it just carries over into everything.
Yeah, and no one wants to be on the... I mean, we've talked about this time and time again, but if you're in a musical environment, let's say you're on a tour and you're on a bus, I mean, that's fucking like summer camp. You know what I mean? Like, you guys are tight. And if there's some person that's always negative, like always, oh man, my hotel room, it sucks so bad. I mean, they didn't even have... The coffee maker didn't even work. Like, it's just like, shut the fuck up, man. I mean, honestly, like, no one has... time. Everyone is in their own thing and they just want to get along. Everyone's in close quarters. If there's one person that's just negative all the time, it's a drag. Anyway, if you ever get to the point where you are this negative, this is an aside, you either have to stop playing for a minute and like regroup and do some soul searching and, you know, heal yourself somehow, or figure out a way just to change your attitude. But, you know, we're not going to go too deep into that. I want to keep moving on.
Hopefully it doesn't like go into a full-on Field of Dreams movie for you. It should be shorter than that and take less money.
If you build it, they will come. I don't know.
That whole movie was just about him just being like, dude, you got a great life. It's basically It's a Wonderful Life with whispers in the cornfields.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. Look at that. It's deep. Some deep movie shit right there. See, now I this is totally off topic, but I started watching A History of Swear Words last night. Have you seen that?
Nice.
Did you see it?
Of course. It's awesome.
So I saw the first couple. Cage. Yeah, Nicolas Cage he's doing the MC. And now that when I swear, I'm like, usually I'm not aware of it because I grew up in New Jersey and New York and it's just part of my vocabulary. Even though I have bigger words that I can say, it just comes out. But now I'm really conscious of it today because I just saw it last night. I just saw the first two. Apparently, though, they said in a PG-13 movie, you're allowed to say fuck one time. And then
I think it was something like that.
No, it was exactly once. If you say it more than that, you have to go to the next. You have to go to R, I guess, right? Or something else. Or NC-17 or whatever. That's it is. Awesome. I don't even know.
You get one.
Yeah, you get one. The rule is very, very strange, you know. Anyway, the fact is that the music business is super tough and there are opportunities happening all the time. I mean, it might not seem like that, but there are things going on all the time. There are people getting new gigs all the time. It doesn't mean that it's easy to get gigs. It just means that there's always something happening, someone going on the road. Well, not in COVID, but you get the idea. I mean, but my point is that if you're putting yourself out there, you're going to be rejected a lot. That's just part of the biz. I mean, avoiding rejection by simply not putting yourself out there is ridiculous. It's just not the right option if you want to be in the business, because you'll never get anywhere in music or in life for that matter. I mean, it could be, you could not be a musician. You can be want to get a promotion. If you don't like put yourself out there and try to get a promotion, like, you know, corporate, they won't give it to you unless you have the best boss in the world. You know, I mean, you have to advocate for yourself.
But like how you handle rejection is awesome too, because then people won't be freaked out to invite you to more shit.
Absolutely.
Like if you're like a disastrous mess, if you get like rejected, they're gonna be like, we never want that dude to come in to audition ever again, because I was like, we devastated his life, you know. Like,
yeah,
if you're super cool, they'll be like, yeah, fucking call Jake, see if he might fit this gig, you know.
But even on a friendship tip, like if I knew, like for instance, if Jake was just such a basket case that like he couldn't handle any bad news at all, then people would just stop telling him anything. You know what I mean? Like your friends, like
you keep me out of that situation. Yeah.
Your friends would simply be like, oh man, just don't. And then Jake would be like, why didn't you guys tell me about that? Because I thought you'd freak out, man. You know, like you don't want to be the person that no one can talk to because your response is going to be just absurd. Yeah. So if you're scared of rejection to the point of not wanting to try new things, you're pretty much bound to live an uneventful life, you know, not meeting new people or whatever, not trying things, new things, that is, not advancing your career, that's for sure. And it's no way to live, in my opinion. That's obvious for me, you know, and I'm hoping
the only thing left to do at that point is like drugs and just do nothing and like just do drugs, you know.
True. Yeah,
that's what people do.
That'll work like out, if,
you know,
especially opiates. They just give in this up country, just like, for fuck sure it,
you know.
Yeah. Seriously. So on the contrary, if you keep going for it, in quotes, right, and putting yourself out there, you're gonna suffer a bunch of defeats because that's just how life is. But that being said, a phrase that comes to mind is you have to be in it to win it, right? It's kind of corny, but it's true, you know. I mean, you need to keep pushing yourself and keep entering the competition, or just entering life. Like, it doesn't even need to be a competition. It just, you just have to put yourself out there. And
also, there is a safety net too. Like, I feel like if you're getting calls, then you are a certain level. Like, we're not talking about like going to open mics and people booing you. If you're just awful and you're just not good at anything and you keep doing it, kudos to you, first of all. Like, you don't have to ever stop doing anything. But like, we're talking more on a professional level or like amateur professional. Like, if you're getting auditions, then you definitely belong there.
Right.
So like, you know, you can't go home and be like, I don't deserve any of this. Like, I'm the worst player ever. Like, fuck this shit. It's like, no, you're getting called. Like, people know you and have heard you play to get you there. It just wasn't a good fit, like, for whatever reason. Or you just were off that day, but whatever. But it could never, you could never go from, like, you know, that to just, I don't ever deserve to be there. I just, fuck this. There's no way I'm ever going to do it. You know?
Absolutely, so, man.
That's like, and that's good news.
But what Jake said is absolutely true. And, you know, you have to understand how much you've done and how proud you should be of yourself for doing what you've done regardless. And I'm going to talk about that in the whole perspective section of this, but let's move on. Nice. So I constantly dream about different ideas and I'm always coming up with crazy shit. Jake knows this. I constantly, you know, bombard him with these random ideas. Usually Jake thinks they're good ideas, which is bad news for me because I end up trying pretty much everything.
I mean, what the fuck? You just gotta go for it.
I just go for it, right. And I try about like 60% of the ideas that come to my mind, honestly. And I have enthusiasm for the ones that make it through my filter, right? Like that I'm like, I don't wake up and I'm like, that was a really bad idea. Too much bourbon. Wow. That was terrible. Right. And I dream about them being realized. You know, I dream about the fact that this could happen. Like, that would be awesome. Like, what could that mean for what the future holds and all that stuff, you know?
I love that the idea was the bad idea, not that you drank that much bourbon.
No, wasn't the bad idea. That was a mistake, but, you know, it happens.
The bourbon led you to an idea that you further thought was a bad idea, but the initial...
I thought the bourbon might have helped. It just didn't. Yeah, it never helps. Anyway, this kind of dreaming keeps me energetic and excited about my world and, you know, my world of music or whatever else I'm working on. And most of my ideas, you know, never see the light of day But that's just the way it works. But instead of...
Well, and because you guys don't have sunlight where you are.
Exactly. But most people, instead of seeing my failures, or I mean, I don't even think of them as failures, and I'm going to get into that. Seeing my misses, they don't see that. They just see that, you know, I'm a bass player. I got these gigs. I run my music masterclass. We do this podcast. We do whatever else is public. And they say, oh, you know, he's doing good. Or, you know, and I see other people and I would say, hey, he, she, whoever, they're doing well because of what you see on the cover, right? But you never really see all the things that they did that they didn't get, you know? That's kind of what you hear in the interviews, you know? And people say, oh, I had no idea. Well, just imagine that that's true for absolutely everyone, unless they're a complete enigma and they didn't have, I don't know, they just got like won the lottery. I mean, literally, if you actually buy a lottery ticket and win it, that's winning the lottery, and that would be an easy way to make money, you know. So anyway, yeah,
but also taxes.
Well, I mean, if you win like $300 million, who cares? So yeah, I mean, basically what I'm saying is, for all the success I've had in my career, you know, and I've had a good career, and I'm still doing stuff and I'm still having a good career, and I've lost out on several big auditions as a bass player, you know, and as a composer, I have a bunch of credits and they may look impressive, but I've had a shitload of rejections that outnumber them by far. I mean, you know, it's silly almost. So how do I not get depressed after a failure in quotes, right? Or just a miss or a rejection of some kind? Well, first of all, like I said, failure is a big word and it's not really applicable most of the time, in my opinion. I mean, did you really fail if you don't land an audition? I mean, Jake just said it before. It's like, first of all, you're selected to partake in this audition. Most auditions aren't like open auditions, you know, or they call them, what do they used to call them? Cattle calls, whatever. I mean, yeah.
It's not a general election, you know.
Exactly. Most auditions aren't like that. They don't put an ad in like the Village Voice or in the LA Times just being like, hey, you know, Britney Spears needs a new, or whoever needs a
come
band.
Come on down.
Yeah, come on down.
Bring your ukulele.
Yeah, bring whatever. No, I mean, you're invited by the musical director, typically. And you have to be on a list. And that means that you need to be good and, or, you know, have a reputation. So you should be proud of yourself for being there. You know, once you get there, I mean, if you do a good job and you've practiced the stuff and you don't get the gig, especially in pop circles, it's, you can't get down on yourself. I mean, you can get down because you wanted the gig, and I understand that. But I mean, well, to put it in blunt terms, you know, Ruslan Sirota, who is a great pianist, keyboardist, he was, I saw a Facebook post that he just wrote about the Super Bowl, and it was one of the bands at the Super Bowl, and the point was that people were outraged that the musicians weren't they had to pay for their own flights, and which sucks. I mean, it does suck, you know. You'd think that if you were doing a gig like that, you'd be treated better, but Ruslan's words were super sobering because he broke it down like this. He said, look, like, yeah, it sucks. It shouldn't be like that, but it's business and it's supply and demand. And that kind of music, a lot of people can do. You know what I mean? Like that, they could, and if you don't want to do it because of something, they can literally replace you within 30 seconds and, yeah, and just get someone else to do it that is hungry and wants to do it and will pay for their plane ticket. So sometimes it sucks. It's a weird reality to have, but there's just a lot of talented musicians that are good enough for that gig. Now, when you get to different specialty gigs, you know, you may need more tools in your tool belt. And, you know, I used to talk to Asaf Radeh, who was, we also did a great podcast on, and he used to say that one of the things he wanted to do when he was a sideman, now he's a musical director, and of course he plays with a ton of great people, but one of the things he said was, I want to make myself indispensable when I'm on a gig, meaning adding more things that you can bring to the table so that they can't just call someone else at a whim and get them to replace you. Like, you want to be able to sing, you want to be able to play, like if you're doing a pop gig, you want to be able to do this, acoustic, electric, whatever the case is. You want to be someone that is hard to replace. You don't want to be, because LA, for instance, I mean, Jake, I mean, it's full of just young player. Every year, a new crop of young, capable players comes in, right?
Yeah, and I don't know that the music's even there to keep those people interested enough to stay.
It's hard. So regardless, if they choose someone else instead of you, that's not a failure at all. You know, same with composition for TV, film. 60% of the gig, maybe 70%, is pitching your music to new people, meeting composers, getting people to listen to you and know your name and want to work with you. So you'll be rejected a ton just because a lot of composers are looking for work. Some of them have personal relationships with the person hiring, like the director or the music supervisor. So what I'm trying to say here is that there's an art to dreaming and having that vigor and energy, like, but without taking it so personally when it doesn't working out.
Yeah. There's a bunch of people involved. It's not just you.
And, you know, and again, this is not always that easy to stomach. I mean, I've had, like I said, I've been rejected so much, just like every other working musician. And it's never easy, but there's things you can do to lighten it up and without completely checking out in the whole, like, what do people say? Like,
well, I mean, I would just say,
oh, don't get your hopes up or something. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know, you don't want to be complete. You have to be wanting to get the gig. You know what I mean? And you can't fake that. So like, you either want to get it, and by wanting to get it, you're going to be dreaming that you get it. So, but you have to lighten the load. So whatever.
Again, though, this is all reliant on other people.
Yeah.
Like one thing to curb all that depression is to just do something that you have total control of. That's why a lot of musicians like make their own records and, you know, write their own songs. It gives it, so it's like, you know, you something to lean on. It's like, yeah, I want to go on tour with, you know, fucking some badass band and tour the world. But like, if I don't get that, it's not fully my fault. You know what I mean? Like, I tried to do it, but they've hired someone else. But like, if you're writing your own music and releasing stuff and doing creative stuff on your own, like, you're just going to go back to doing that. And that should be even better than playing for someone else, you know? So like, that's a good, healthy thing to do. It's just like, be your own artist, first of all. That's like one major thing that'll keep you sane.
Exactly. And, you know, like when I was talking before about writing and, you know, composing for TV and film and playing bass, like, I literally was doing all that at the same time. You know, it's not like I stopped playing. But when I was in LA and, you know, hanging with Jake, that's what I was doing. I was playing bass in a group that Jake and I were playing with for this artist at that point and some other people. And I was also writing for TV. So whichever one came my way, I would pivot to. So if a composition project came and I'd be busy enough with it, I would do that. And I just bear down and get it done in 2 weeks or 10 days or whatever crazy deadline I had. But at the same time, if a tour came up and that, you know, you just go with the flow, and I would always be kind of happy. And I was always working on my other stuff and my own stuff. And then I made my music masterclass. There's always something going on, but you're right. Being your own boss is definitely a good way to do
it. No one can hurt you. Like that's basically all that it is. Like, oh, I didn't get this gig, but guess what? Like, I'm going to go sing at you know, some venue, and my friends are going to hang out, and I have my own career. Yeah, that might not be like your bread and butter, pay your rent, but like, that's your thing. No one can take that from you.
Yeah, and to be honest, when you have other things going on, it makes you audition better, because you have energy and you're positive and you're sounding good, and but you're loose because you don't need the gig. Like, you want, that's
not life dependent.
That's kind of the difference. It's like, exactly. It's not life dependent. You'd like it. You know what I mean? You think that's a great gig. That'd be great to do that. Good bread. It's going to be a good experience. The music's cool. The musicians are good, but it's not the end of the world. And you can just go back and, you know, get to writing all this new music you're doing, or producing something, or whatever it is. So, you know, that's a good point. I mean, essentially, you want to have all the positive energy. And you can dream about the possible timeline where you have the thing you're trying to get, right? If it's an audition, a gig, soulmate, whatever, business idea. But understand that there's a lot of competition out there, and that you're just one person with one idea or a skill. So it's kind of like a don't get your hopes up philosophy, but without being checked out or negative, you know? I mean, you want to believe that you can get the gig and that you're good enough no matter what happens. But if you don't get it, you know, just brush yourself off and try again. And just, you have to continue to keep that energy up. So, you know, if you receive any criticism, on the other hand, you know, take it to heart and work on it. But a lot of times, as we've talked about in this podcast, you don't receive criticism. So you're just left to make up the narrative for yourself, you know?
Yeah.
If you don't get criticism, you just get ready for the next gig, you know? That way, you'll bounce back and start your creative dreaming process again. And, you know, that's the way I typically think about things. All right. So just to wrap this up in a random way, to give you an example of the shit that goes through my head. This week, I had this crazy idea for a children's show on music. And I won't even get into it because I don't want you motherfuckers stealing my ideas.
No. Yeah, what the hell? Why are you fucking...
No, I'm not. See, I'm being very...
the shit.
I'm being very vague. Anyway, so I have this crazy idea for this music education show for kids. And it's super cool in my mind. But, you know, who knows? It's just me thinking some stuff. And Jake thinks it's a good idea. But, you know, he doesn't know anything either. You know, we're just two people. Anyway, that's one idea I just had. And how to, you know, I have no idea. The other idea I had was, we did this podcast last week on Neuralink, which is Elon Musk's company. So I said, let's tag Elon Musk, you know, in the post and see if he responds. I knew that we had like less than a 1% chance of him responding, but it didn't stop me from doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I still put it out there. I wasn't at all disappointed when he didn't respond. I mean, he's worth more than Bill Gates now. He's considerably
jumped over the gate.
Busier than me. And I'm busy, but I would assume that he's even busier. Anyway, the point is that you always have to keep doing things and you always have to, you know, dream. And, you know, and I was hoping Elon Musk would respond to the tweet and we'd have a little back and forth about music and the fact and what Neuralink can do with it, and maybe even have him on a podcast. You know, that goes through my head. None of that happened. You know what? And I am pretty depressed about it. No, I'm not depressed about it. And, you know, these are just small examples of the things that go through my head every day that I dream about. And you can dream too. See you
later.
Questions, comments, episode ideas, hate mail. You can get in touch with us by contact form, email, or voicemail, all of which are available at our website, theperformerspathway.com. If one of your questions or topics makes it into the podcast, with your consent, of course, you'll receive a shiny new $10 gift card for use at mymusicmasterclass.com. That's our sister website, which contains over 600 original educational videos from your musical heroes. So, look forward to hearing from you.